Would you go with me in your Bible tonight to John chapter 17? I have a little Bible lesson from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's how to live the Christian life. And even though it was spoken many years ago, it applies today. Sometimes, you know, we hear about the good old days, and we hear about what Christianity was like at one time, but all good. But the problem with that is we're in 2018, aren't we? We've got to live it in 2018. And you know what? I think it can be lived in 2018. There's some challenges. I suspect there always were challenges in living the Christian life in every generation and every age. And we know all about the challenges. We've read all about them and heard about them. But you know what? I believe the Lord Jesus intended for us to live for the Lord in every age. Whatever age that we are living in, whatever year, whatever time period, whatever the circumstances, that's the best one because it's when we're right here. It's the only time we got right now. We can't go backwards, can we? We don't know what the future holds, but the Lord wants us to live for Him. He's speaking here in John chapter 17. It's many times called the Lord's Prayer. Other places, of course, in the Sermon Mount are called the Lord's Prayer. That would be more accurately called the Model Prayer. Jesus didn't actually pray that prayer. Here in John chapter 17, He's praying to us. We don't have time tonight for the entire passage, so I just want to read a little portion, and that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. So if you follow along in your Bible tonight, John chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 11. Here the Bible says this, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are," look at this next phrase, "in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not," here's the second phrase tonight, "of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me," and here's our third phrase for this evening, "into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." The Lord Jesus is giving us a lesson for us, for your life and my life, for your family and my family, for your church and for my church, on how to live in 2018 and to make a difference. How to live and to stand for something. An old-time preacher said this, "In order to make a difference, you have to be different." Now, sometimes people take that "different" as odd or oddball, but of course, compared to the world, a lot of things do appear to be odd or oddball. But I don't think to live for the Lord, to make a difference for the Lord, is odd or oddball or anything like that. I think it's exactly how the Lord intends for us to live. But think about this. Now, Jesus is praying, and He says they are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. And then He sends us into the world. Keep your hand there. We're coming right back. Go with me to John chapter 1. The word "world" is used three different ways in the New Testament. And here's one verse where it's used three different ways in this one verse. We'll just spend a minute here. We'll get back to our main text for the evening. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 10. In your Bibles, John chapter 1. In verse 10, the Bible says this, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." The word "world" occurs three times. Now, there's three different types of meanings of the word "world." Only one is used in John 17. We're coming back to that in a second, but let me just illustrate this. First, John 1:10, "He was in the world." That means the world system. The world system that we have today that is against the Lord Jesus Christ. The world system. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. This world is not our home. We're headed for another place. We're just passing through down here. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we start liking down here so much. I love the special this morning, and I love the special night because it speaks about heaven. It speaks about heaven. But it says there, he was in the world. That's world system. Secondly, and the world, that means the creation or the planet, was made by him. And then it says, and the world, that's talking about people, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There it is, the world means people. But that first world is the world system. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's a command, isn't it? Jesus is speaking. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to me and you, isn't he? And so while the word world is used different ways, here in John chapter 17, he's talking about this world system. This world system. In America, and where you live and where I live, the gospel has been preached for many years. Churches have been established. And you understand down south, often called the Bible Belt, and many churches, they often say a church on every corner. We understand that. Where I'm from, the Midwest, it's not that way. But there are churches, and people have preached. We understand missionaries that you support and that we support go to countries where they're just starting from scratch, aren't they? They're just trying to explain the simple, the basic things of the gospel. But here Jesus in John chapter 17 is encouraging us. He's leading us to live a life that makes a difference. To live a life that is different on purpose. It says here, first of all, in John chapter 17, if you follow along in verse 11, he says this, because in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. First of all, we see tonight the position that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to, and he places us in the world. We send a missionary to a foreign country, to a place where the gospel's never been taken, in order to live the Christian life there, don't we? In order to make a difference, in order to stand, in order to introduce Christianity to people that have never known it. The old missionary of another generation, Robert Moffat, said this from Africa. He said, "You have seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where they've never heard the name of Christ." And then we go and we are placed in the world. The Lord intends for us to live in this world. He intends for us to make a difference in this world. It's an amazing strategy, isn't it? He intends for us to live around neighbors that are lost, around neighbors that are backslid, but he intends for us to make a difference, doesn't he? He's placed us in the world. You know the old story of the guy went to another country to sell shoes, and he got there and he said, listen, he said, there's just no reason for me to be here. He said, nobody's ever even heard of shoes before. I'm coming back home. They sent the next salesman. The next salesman says, I've never seen an opportunity like this. He says, they've never heard of shoes. Send me boxes and boxes. I am an unbelievable opportunity. It's all in how you look at it, isn't it? And here he is. He's taken Christians, God's people, and he intends for us to live in the world. Many times people, different groups down the years, have got the idea of how hard it is to live the Christian life. We understand where they're coming from, and they say, what we need to do is we need to come out and have our own little community, have our own little group, where we only talk with people that believe like us and we only are around people that believe like us. You understand exactly that mentality. But Jesus says you are placed in this world strategically to make a difference, to make a difference, to stand for something. That neighbor needs the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he? My pastor, when I was a kid in high school in Minnesota, was a man that went to state school, and he was had a career, he thought, of running drug stores. This is many years ago, of course. And they were just getting started, just a young couple, just married. He was just starting out. They had moved to another area in Michigan, and he was living in an apartment complex, like a fourplex. And the guy that lived right above him, the couple lived right above him, about the exact same age, but they were saved. Went to church all the time. This other couple couldn't figure him out. Over a period of time, the couple that were saved started to talk to them. started to spend time with them, witness to them, eventually got them to come to church, and eventually at their kitchen table one night led that young couple to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of those young couples went into full-time service. The couple that was saved first eventually became a missionary to Uruguay and then to Canada, Spanish-speaking ministries. The wife just passed away. The husband is still living. And the one that was my pastor pastored for over 35 years in the state of Minnesota. Hey, I tell you what, that's what it means to be in the world, isn't it? To make a difference. To be around those and to influence them for the cause of Christ. You see with me our second lesson for this evening. I must move on. Chapter 17 and verse 14. The Bible says this, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not, here it is, the second lesson, of the world. It's kind of tricky, isn't it? Second of all, we see the practice. We are in the world, but we are not supposed to be of the world. It's an old chorus. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But you know, as we pass through this world, we kind of get attached to it, don't we? We get attached to our possessions. We get attached to our things. Remember, I just saw just recently the mudslides there in California where they came down and just very expensive homes were just destroyed. And they told them that they only had just a few minutes to get ready to go. It happened so quickly. The weather changed so dramatically. Can you imagine that? Living in like a $500,000 house and all you can take with is what you can grab in 5 minutes? Be tragic, wouldn't it? It'd be hard for us to grasp. But we are not supposed to be of this world. Well, all of us know that this world, our lifetime is a short time. The Bible says 70. And if by reason of strength you have 80, and you don't understand with advancements in America, our life expectancy is much greater. People are living a lot longer. But we're not here forever, are we? It's just a short period of time. But oh, how we get attached to it. Oh, how we talk so much about heaven, but we think more about earth, don't we? We think more about our things. We think more about our possessions. It's hard, isn't it? To be in this world, but not to be of this world. You know, if we went to, as a missionary to a foreign country where we looked different from everybody, where we didn't speak the language of anybody, where we had completely different customs and completely different cultures, it'd be easy for us to say we're not of this place. But we, if we're not careful, even as Christians, say for many years, faithful Christians, we can be very much of this world. You know, we talk many times about where you're from. I understand that. You know, from the south or from the north, or are you a citizen of this country, another country? But can I just say something? If you're saved tonight, we're really a citizen of heaven. That's where our real citizenship is. Now, I'm glad to be an American. I'm proud to be an American tonight. But let's just make sure that you understand that one day, that's not going to matter. One day, we're going to be around the feet of Jesus, and we're going to be people of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, every people. You know what we'll be then? We'll be citizens of heaven. Amen. I tell you what, we get attached to this old world, don't we? We get attached to the things that we have bought. There's a place in our town, Habitat for Humanity. They've built a lot of houses in our town, and they have a thrift store, and many times people are getting ready to move into a nursing home or independent living. You understand, they sell things, and then they're left with things that nobody wants, and so they give it to Habitat for Humanity. They've got this huge garage sale going on all the time. My wife takes me there on a regular basis. I'm checking out the books, you understand. You know, there's one thing I just always am amazed that they have in abundance at the Habitat for Humanity. It just shows how much our society has changed. Now, if you want special dishes, you go to Habitat for Humanity. They have got several dozen sets. You know what I mean? See, we had dishes like that when I was a kid. We'd only eat on them like maybe once a year. You understand? They were that special. You know? Everybody's eating on paper plates now. It doesn't really matter. You understand? But we understand that, and here's these folks with those special plates. from grandma to the next generation. And now, nobody will even take the box home. There it sits at Habitat for Humanity. They'll put a price on it. Nobody's going to pay that price. They just about have to give them away. Boy, we get attached to this world, don't we? We get attached to the things of this world. And it says here, an interesting statement, speaks to my heart. We're not supposed to be of this world. We speak about land. We speak about houses. But dear friends, tonight, our inheritance is in heaven. Our inheritance isn't down here. I don't have anything against those things. They're all good. In fact, if you want to give me some of them, I'm in favor of it twice. You know what I mean? But our real inheritance is when we're in heaven. My parents just passed away. Summer of 16 and the summer of 17. My mom was 91. My dad was almost 95. They were married 72 years. My mom passed away. And they were saved, took me to church every time the doors were open, a tremendous family that I had. But it makes you think, when you're in the prime of your life, and I'm just going to say I'm in the prime of my life, you may not agree with that, but I'm just going to say it tonight. I'm going to believe it anyway, you know what I mean? Some things you got to just accept by faith, you understand? But you know what? It just reminded me again of how fleeting this old world is. How many times in the last couple of months I've thought, something I wanted to say to my dad. And I had all of those years. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. Time has changed. We're not of this world, are we? Hard to get through to our head, though, really. We understand a missionary goes to the foreign field. We understand he's coming back. We understand they're going to come back on a furlough. We understand they're going to retire and come back. Very few missionaries die on the foreign field. We had a missionary preach at our church about 10 years ago, and he was a missionary to Suriname, South America. He was a missionary to the jungle people for 60 years, and he said to his wife, he said, if I ever get sick, they were in the States preaching and traveling. He said, if I get sick, let's get on a plane because I've got to die on the mission field. He did die on the mission field, and he's buried in the jungles on the mission field. I love a guy like that. But not everybody's like that. But what about you and I? We're in the world. We get that. We understand that. But it's hard to not be of this world. Thirdly, and I must move on quickly, John chapter 17 and verse 18, the third statement we want to look at from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, John 17, 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Into the world. We see here our purpose to take the gospel to people. To take the gospel to people that had never heard. I read one place, and I don't remember exactly the statistics, but I think it's something like Coca-Cola is known in 85 to 90% of our world today. And yet most statistics I've seen have said there's 2.5 billion people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? That Coca-Cola is more well-known than Jesus, isn't it? But here it is. Jesus said here, you're in the world. You're not supposed to be of the world, but he says, I'll send you into the world to make a difference. Think with me just for a moment tonight of who led you to Christ or who witnessed to you or who brought you to church, where you could get saved. There was a soul winner somewhere, wasn't there? There was somebody there that made a difference. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was somebody that was running the buses. But we know that somebody had to bring the gospel to us, didn't they? My grandfather was saved. He was in his 50s. He was a farmer in southern Minnesota. He was milking the cows in the barn at 5 o'clock in the morning. And a preacher boy who had just graduated from Northwestern College in Minnesota. Northwestern College in its day under W.B. Reilly, this is back in the 1930s, was a preacher sending station across the entire Midwest. And a young preacher boy trained under W.B. Reilly came into the barn at 5 o'clock in the morning and said to my grandfather, his name was Nick, said, "Do you need some help milking the cows?" Well, of course he did. It was a long job. It took 3 or 4 hours twice a day. He said, "Sure." So that preacher boy, that young pastor, sat down at the stool and helped my grandfather milk cows. Over a period of a couple of months, he came several times, was witnessing to my grandfather, and eventually led my grandfather to the Lord while they're milking cows in the barn. You know, can I just tell you what? That's the very definition of going into the world. Amen. And they tell me, people that know that pastor, he just passed away recently, a couple decades ago, my grandfather's been gone since 1975, said that all around that area you could go and you could just point to the barns where he had gone and helped, and over a period of a couple months eventually led the man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in things that one day are not going to matter. Money. Sports, and I love sports, so I'm not preaching against sports or anything like that. In fact, my Vikings are on TV right now, so that's why it's going to be a little shorter message tonight. I told my church I felt a afternoon service coming on for the day of the Super Bowl, which I've always preached against, but this year it's different. Do you understand? No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. It'd be a short service, but we'll still have it. Amen. And I'll have my phone. I'll have to have somebody teach me how to work it, but I'll have my, nah, I won't do that. Have the game I want. I'm preaching. That'd be terrible. That'd be wicked, you know. But we do get attached to this world, don't we? But can I tell you that the real answer is the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody that cares about another soul. Girl in our church was working at Burger King. She went up to this other girl at Burger King and said, "How'd you like to go to a revival meeting in our church?" She says, "I don't know. What's a revival meeting?" She says, "Well, we bring in a special preacher. He preaches all week." She says, "Okay, I'll come." First time she's ever been in a Baptist church in her life. That young girl doesn't know who her father is. Family situation. Came to church that Sunday morning. And she told me later, she said, "I didn't understand everything he said, but during the invitation, he said this. He said, 'That tug in your heart, that's the Lord Jesus Christ calling you to himself.'" She said, "I didn't understand everything, but I understood that." She walked the aisle that morning and got saved. She was a ninth grader. She's the only one saved in her family. When she got saved, she's the only one today, over 10 years later, saved. But she has never wavered for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never really missed a service her entire high school years. Came to our Christian school, went off to Bible college. She married a young man. Boy, it's one of those success stories. And you just think, just because a teenage girl said, "Would you come to church with me?" Isn't it amazing what God can do? There's a story I heard a guy tell about. A man was a photographer. It was his business. And in the 90s, while there was the terrible famine and so many troubles in Sudan, the United Nations took a group of photographers over there to try to get pictures and to send them to the entire world. And you understand, in the 90s, it would be a little different than it would operate today. But they were taking pictures. And just as they were getting ready for their plane to leave, this photographer saw an unbelievable sight, a little girl emaciated. No strength, she couldn't even walk, was trying to make her way to the feeding station set up by the UN. They had told the photographers not to touch the people, it'd be bad for them. But right behind this little girl, a vulture came and was sitting just about 20 feet behind that little girl. This photographer slowly worked his way into position to take a picture. You can find the picture easily. It's called "The Vulture and the Little Girl." Please don't do it now, but you can do it right after the service. "The Vulture and the Little Girl." He took that picture. Eventually, the New York Times bought the picture. And eventually, he became worldwide known, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for photography for the picture, "The Vulture and the Little Girl." Late 1993, he won the award in 1994. But everywhere he went, he was at the pinnacle of his career, but everywhere he went, all people said was this: What happened to the little girl? What happened to the little girl? He said, well, my plane was leaving, and so I went and I scared the vulture away, and I tried to do the best I can, but they told us not to touch anybody, just to take pictures. And everywhere he went, everybody said, what about the little girl? Eventually, that photographer, his name was Kevin Carter, eventually, just a couple months later, he committed suicide. Because even though he's at the peak of his career, he couldn't get away from people saying, what about the little girl? What about that little girl that hadn't had food? What about that little girl in a war-torn country? We understand about countries like that. We understand those situations still happen all around the world. But can we just ask ourselves tonight this simple question? What about the little girl that needs the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the little girl from a home where they'll never take her to church? Does she have a chance? Can she be reached? Does someone care enough for them? That's what the Lord asks of us, to go into the world and to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite an exciting ministry, isn't it? It's hard. The truth of it is, if we'd be honest tonight, we'd say not very many people are really interested anymore, but to me it's the most exciting thing in the world, to go into the world. To go into the world. In our city, there's a trailer park where a lot of Hispanics live, and we get ready to have vacation Bible school. We'll don't go down there trying to find kids that want to come. And many times there'll be people that you can tell by talking to the parents, they've only been in our country just a couple of months. Kids, of course, are going to the public school, learning English right along, and the kids are very fluent in English in a very short time. And I just think, you just go up and down one street or two streets in this little trailer park, 20, 25 homes, and you know as well as I do, everybody isn't going to be home. And might you run into four or five people who only been in America just a couple of months. My heart breaks for those people. Who's going to reach them? I understand we're the greatest nation in the world. I understand we're the most powerful economic nation. I'm not talking about politics tonight. I'm talking about salvation. We're supposed to go into the world. We're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The photographer who took the picture that made him famous was destroyed by the exact same picture because of this simple question. What about the little girl? What did happen to her? Let's take the words and the advice of the Lord Jesus Christ to heart tonight and be in the world, but not of the world, but go into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word tonight. Take and use in our lives. We need your help. We need your strength to be the kind of folks that you want us to be, the kind of believers that you want us to be. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray that you'd put your hand of blessing upon it and use it in a tremendous way, Lord. And we thank you for this message, this challenge from the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to use it in our lives, Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.